Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket, recording live here at the Vive event in Los Angeles, California. Today, I have the privilege of hosting the amazing Joe Mascola, Executive Vice President of Enterprise System Operations at Northwell Health. Such a pleasure to have you here, Joe.
Thanks so much, Saul. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. A lot of great things happening here at the event. And really, just to kick things off, would love to understand what's happening at Northwell, the transformation, the digitization, all the efforts that you guys are up to.
Thanks so much, and really a pleasure to be with you. So just a little bit of context. Northwell Health, we're based in the Northeast, the New York metro area. We're an $18 billion organization. We see just about 3 million patient encounters a year, and we've got about 21 hospitals and 900 physician locations. What that means is we're pretty big, but we're working really hard to not only make ourselves feel small, but most importantly, make ourselves feel personalized. And I think that's where we really get into a lot of what we're seeing at Vive, is that ability to leverage technology and ultimately artificial intelligence as well in a really special, unique way that connects us with our customers in a way we don't even understand today. We're on a digital transformation journey. Oh, okay, great. You've heard one organization say that. You've heard 100. What does it mean for Northwell? A few things. One, we took a look at who's at the center of our circle just to sort of reforecast the strategy just about 2 years ago. And for us, it's of course, yes, patient and consumer. It's the clinician, because a lot of tools and technologies have not enabled that individual. They've added to that individual's workload without removing. And so you get to these concepts of burnout and frustration. Where's the joy in medicine? And then the third, and arguably as important as the other two, is discovery. Like I said, 3 million encounters. We certainly saw during COVID how much we could learn and grasp from all of those encounters. And arguably the most important thing that we really enjoy in the marketplace that we are in is the incredible diversity. You look at a county like Queens County, hundreds of different dialects that are spoken. And so this notion of equitable care and how we handle that and how we learn from that is a big part of our journey. How does that translate? We are working really hard to modernize our solutions. We're converting to a completely new electronic record across all parts of our organization. Yes, Epic. Second, we are working to move as fast as we can to the cloud. Obviously, that's a precursor to a lot of things we're going to talk about today. And then lastly, really getting focused in on that consumer relationship. We've signed a deal with Salesforce just about a year and a half ago that we're really excited about, and going to be leveraging a lot of that information for what I'm sure we're going to talk about today as well.
That's fantastic, Joe. Well, definitely a lot brewing over there at Northwell, and all centered on patients, care providers, and love that you mentioned just, hey, get small and get humble, because at the end of the day, it's a beast that you really have to tame, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Love that. All right, cool. Let's dig in. Our questions today are mainly going to be around AI. How is AI currently used in your hospital? And can you highlight some AI-driven innovations that have benefited care and operations?
Yeah, sure. AI has been around for a while. There's numerous examples throughout our organization. What we are actively trying to do, especially with the growth and success of large language modeling and some of the sort of computing capabilities, we're really trying to put our arms around it a little bit more. We've got instances within imaging where we're leveraging it to evaluate for secondary findings. We've been partnering with AI Doc for a number of years on that. We have a homegrown initiative where we've done, one of our pediatric cardiac surgeons at our children's hospital is using that same kind of technology and AI to identify congenital anomalies that haven't necessarily been followed from other studies, et cetera. And then making sure that we do get them within our care. There's other examples within staffing and efficiency that we've leveraged for some time, just in terms of ease of scheduling and nurse preference. All that said, we have recently created a Center for Artificial Intelligence, which we are calling an AI catalyzer. And in many ways, we're working to put our arms around it and really hug it and bring it in close. Why? What we certainly found is with the growing availability of an interest in OpenAI, we had a lot of individuals, physicians, who sometimes were leveraging it in ways that we might not feel comfortable yet. And we're going to bring it in as close as we can, create some guidelines, and then we're going to, in that same sort of speed, look to push it back out. I think one of the things that AI offers that makes so many people excited is the way that it can democratize data and democratize the insights that can be gained from it. And obviously our physician and clinical community, that makes them really excited and anxious to get that power in their hands. But we want to make sure that, as we say, do no harm first, and that we're putting tools that deliver the highest level of quality that we know we can deliver.
Yeah, you're approaching it very intentionally and with the end in mind. So I think that's phenomenal. What measures does your hospital take to ensure patient data security when implementing AI tech?
Yeah, sure. First off, we want to make sure that we're seeing things longitudinally across an individual and across our organization. And first and foremost, making sure that we're leveraging information that's in the cloud just gives us that level of security over far superior from what we experience on an on-prem solution or something like that. In addition, what we are working hard to do is to put policies in place where we only make certain forms of information and data available as we feel it's ready to be used in a way that's productive, that maintains HIP, but then also is additive to the individual's journey. We're leaving more of that patient insights and data from AI to the next phase of our journey. Today, we think about it in a somewhat, I guess, arbitrary way, where 70% of where we're going to leverage AI is going to be focused on administrative inefficiency. Yes, additive to ultimately to the patient journey, but not necessarily knee-deep in their health information. That other 30% is where we're moving cautiously, but with speed. And I think that's the main word that I continue to use as we think about this AI journey. Everybody's going to have it. We've got all these vendors coming to us with it. And even if they say they have it, they may not have what we're really referring to. So there's a little bit of scrutiny as these things come in, as well as, and that scrutiny is going to happen quickly with regards to the question in terms of security and how this information is being leveraged. And then what does it actually deliver upon? I think what we've seen is that many AI companies are saying, okay, we're going to deliver on this very specific use case, but their business case is actually the proliferation into other work streams that may not be aligned with our vision. And so we're trying to understand that vision, that journey, and really look for solutions that are enterprise grade that can grow with us. Said differently, a platform that can grow with us and allow us to buy, but then in some cases build off of it in a way that we feel is safe for our patients and our system.
Thank you for that. Yeah, no, I really appreciate the thoughts around the approach. Can you share any examples around best practices with leveraging data for outcomes from data cleanup, usability?
Yeah, sure. We have enjoyed a joint venture partnership with an organization called Aegis. Aegis and Northwell invested in a company called Ascertain, and Ascertain makes investments into AI startups and things of this sort. One of those examples that we've been very focused in on is this major health discrepancy that we see occurring in maternal mortality, largely between Black females and all others. The increase in mortality within Black females versus all other is quite staggering, and one that we have taken on in a very aggressive way to better understand and leverage these AI insights to help make sure that we are taking into account an individual's complete being, from their socioeconomic situation to their health situation and food and nutrition, and then making sure that we put in the appropriate prophylactic care to give them the best chance of the best outcome. Sometimes that is as simple as a baby aspirin. And you look at the situation, and because of either unconscious bias, or we're not asking the right questions as clinicians, or perhaps we're not following through to make sure that there is an ability to have that individual stay compliant with that protocol. Those are the types of places where AI can really come into play and ultimately change behavior at the same time too. Because obviously this is a multifaceted problem, otherwise we would have fixed it already. It's going to give us, and it's giving us, those insights where we can see some of those results real time.
I think it's awesome that you guys are focused on that key problem to be solved with huge benefits to the community when solved. So I love that.
Without a doubt.
And how does your hospital address interoperability challenges when integrating AI solutions across different departments and systems?
Yeah. And look, this is not only an AI problem, but it goes even broader. And it will be accentuated from AI, again, because of the enthusiasm. We spend upwards of $400 million a year in capital in just IT. And so there are many solutions that come our way that, yes, we have full line of sight into and that we're aware of, but there's probably about 25 to 30% of these solutions that come our way that I call below the surface of the water, meaning we don't know about it until it's far in the process. And of course, we've got to plug it in somewhere, and we've got to ensure disaster recovery, and we've got to ensure cybersecurity. And so we tend to get involved very late in the process. And so what we are working to do right now is really overhaul our entire intake process. As a large healthcare organization, one of the things I can say with absolute certainty is that we're struggling to prioritize investments just the same as every healthcare organization is. Everyone's had a bit of a hard time over the last couple of years. I don't care what market you're in, and having to reprioritize and prioritize what those initiatives are. What we're looking for are solutions that not only, as I was describing before, solve not only the key use case, but then can also be, we can grow upon them. And so we're looking for, yes, we're interested in those new and exciting ideas, but we also want to partner with someone who has the capability to grow things enterprise-wide. Yes, there's going to be some solutions that are just pure point solutions, especially as we get to some of the subspecialty areas and or certain components of revenue cycle. But this is where I think we look at the sort of digital playing field. And with the right people in the room, we can begin to understand what are we solving for today, tomorrow, and how do we get rid of the stuff, quite frankly, that's not solving for those problems. As we've gone through cloud migration, Epic integration, we've gotten rid of literally hundreds of apps because we have maybe a couple people in the organization that are using them, literally a couple of people. And so those are the ones where I would say, yeah, sometimes we're going to say no. But what I like to tell our team is offer an alternative instead of just saying no and show what we have in our inventory and what can answer those questions that they're trying to have answered.
Yeah, it's a great way to prioritize. Sometimes it's painful to make those moves and to take some of those toys away, quote unquote. But when you're dealing with an enterprise and wanting to do what's best for everyone, you got to make them.
Yeah, governance is often a bad word, but it doesn't have to be. It's one of those situations where I would say we as a function, and I say that from the vantage point of IT and digital, who is our customer? How do we align that to the mission and vision and objectives and goals of the organization? And if you can check all those boxes, all right, now we then come down to financial and return. And this is where, again, we as a function, if the organization is continuing to make investments as they have and they will and they need to, then it's incumbent upon us to show that return on investment. And I say return on investment in its broadest sense. That could, of course, be experiential. It could be quality. It can be outcomes in the instance of quality. It can be things that we've never done before, which AI is going to open up to us an incredible aperture of, just because oftentimes today it's a heavy people cost, and AI is going to remove that and put it at a fraction of set cost. And imagine what that can do to health outcomes. Imagine what that can do to mortality. Imagine what that can do to trust between consumer and provider.
You know, and on that note, Joe, what do you believe is the biggest promise for AI and care delivery in 2024?
Yeah, I think speed. I think understanding behavior are two of the greatest things. And speed could as much be, where do I find and how quickly can I find the right doctor at the right place in the right amount of time so that something isn't missed, so that we get past this notion of difficult access. And I think behavior, one of the things that we struggle with the most is, how do I get Joe to do what I'm prescribing to him, even though I know Joe has, or I think Joe has, because I see it in his chart, he's got two kids. I'm not exactly sure how old they are, but I do. And I think Joe, last time he was here, he said something's going on with his dad and something with his mom. So the reality is, and A, I'm not going to forget those things. Yes, Joe's got a daughter who's 17, who's going to college, got another 15-year-old who's trying to worry about that. And then at the same time, yeah, his father's got Alzheimer's, his mother's got other ailments, and he's more worried about that than taking his own medication or his blood pressure. How do we make it so that Joe is at his best health because we understand all of the components and then how to have him take those clinical treatments or maybe those healthy habits that Joe's not so focused on right now. And now at that point, that's personalized medicine, that's health outcome, and that's changing someone's life.
Love that. Yeah, hugely impactful for this year. And it's possible with the work that you guys are doing with the technology that's coming around the corner and available already. So Joe, I really appreciate you being on the podcast today. This has been a really great opportunity to chat with you. What closing thought would you leave folks with? And then what's the best place for them to get in touch with you and learn more about the work you guys are up to?
Yeah, sure. I think the thought I would leave everyone with is be very particular about what you want to put in your catalyzer to speed up or slow down. There's going to be so much coming at us at once, and every organization, vendor, et cetera, partner is going to be telling you they've got something so brand new and unique, but you've got to stay focused on your organization's mission objectives. You've got to control the spigot while not shutting the water off completely, because the reality is this is moving too fast for any one department or anything to control. And so the more that we can embrace it, but then act as a way to speed it up and democratize it, in other words, putting the freedom in a framework so that it's available, it's connected, and we are learning from it and leveraging new use cases. I think that's when our organizations will be the most successful. We'd love to have some folks reach out and share a little bit more of the Northwell story and what we're trying to do to really disrupt this space.
Amazing. Joe, thank you so much for being with us. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Look forward to our next discussion, Joe.